Good morning. We are continuing with Maseches Shavuos. We are in the seventh parak. We are up to Mishnah Aleph. So parak Zayin, Mishnah Aleph. This parak deals with the halachas of Kedushas Shavuos, and the Mishnah gives us a general rule about what's going to have Kedushas Shavuos on it. We are going to specify later on what it means when something has Kedushas Shavuos. So now, Klal Gadol Amar B'Shavuos. This is a general, very important rule which is said about Shavuos, about Shemitah. Kol shu meichel ado meichel behema, anything that grows in the ground that is edible, it's edible either to people, or it's edible for behemoths, for animals, or it's miminat tzayvim, it's something which is used to dye, so it's not actually edible but it's useful. Ve'ena meskayim ba'aretz, it does not stay in the ground. In other words, it has an expiration date in the ground. If you were to leave it in the ground long term, it would rot at some point in time. The halacha is, anything which fits the above categories, yesh lo shvius, uludamav shvius. Any one of those plants have kedushas shvius on them, and not only do they themselves have kedushas shvius, the halacha is, if you were to sell them, the money that was used to buy them now take on them the halacha of kedushas shvius. They have to be treated properly like the fruits of the fruits that grow during the seventh year. Not only that, yesh loy bior l'odam of bior. We explained earlier that bior in the context of Shemitah does not mean to actually destroy it. It means to take it outside and to be mafkir it. We mentioned that according to some opinions, you would be allowed to repossess it afterwards, but it has to go through the process of going out of the house, becoming hefker, becoming public property. And that is the concept of bior. Ve'eza zeh. So the Mishnah lists them off. Now, just to understand what this idea of why it would make a difference if it can stay in the ground long term with regard to the halachas of Bior, because we mentioned earlier that the Pasuk said Ulechaya Asher Basada, that the Shemitah products are good for the chayas, for the animals which are in the field. Now, we learned that at the point in time when the animals are not eating it in the field anymore, that's when you have to get rid of them. It would stand to reason then that if something stays in the field long term, because it's miskayim ba'aretz, does not have an expiration date, it never falls into the category of something which needs to have bior. Now the Mishnah lists off a bunch of different plants that fit this category. I will be honest, I don't know exactly what all of them are. I'm going to read them to you and try to use the best translation that I can. The Mishnah says, Eza is that would be an example of this. This is Alei Aluf HaShaita. These are the leaves of Aluf HaShaita, a very wild luf plant. We've mentioned the plant luf a number of times. It seemed to have been some type of onion-style plant. So the leaves of this wild plant, that those fit the category of something that has Kedusha Shvius, and if you were to sell it, its money would take on the Kedusha of Shvius as well. But Alei Adandana, these are the leaves, I believe, some type of mint plant. Ha'olshin, I believe that it is endives. So that'll be the same thing. These are her creation. Exactly what creation are, I don't know. I think it's translated as something like maybe a black calla lily, rusty back fern. I don't know exactly what that is. The leek of purslane, I really don't know what it is. Viharagela, again, it's something which fits that category. I don't know what it looks like. Vnetzachalav, and something which is called Netzachalav, some type of milk plant. Again, I don't know exactly how it looks or how it would be identified today. Michael Behema, Mishnah continues, what is something which would fit the category of Michael Behema, something which is edible only to animals? So the Mishnah says, it's Chaychem v'hadar darim. That is Chaychem and Adar Darim. Again, I don't know what it is. Woad, something, it's thorns, some type of thorn plants. I don't know exactly what it is. Chaychem does mean thorns, so I don't know exactly what the actual plant is. Huminat Tzayvim, what would be in the category of something which is used to dye? So that is Sfiche Istis. Apparently that's called woad. And then there's Vikaitza. I apologize again, I don't know exactly how that would be translated. All those yesh lahem shvius, ludveim shvius, they are shvius, they have a kedusha shvius to them, they need to be treated with proper respect like Shemitah. Ludveim shvius, if you were to sell them, the money that was used to buy them would take on the halacha of the plant, They have the chiyuv of beer to be destroyed, which in this context again means to be mafkir them. And the same thing would be true if you were to buy them, would have the same halacha, that money would have to be treated that way. Mishnah Beis, the second mission in the parak, is really a continuation of that. And it says, V'oid klal acher amru. Another rule would say, which is kind of the flip side, kol she'ena meichel adam meichel behem, anything which is not edible to human beings or to animals. Or miminat saivim, it's not used for dying. Miskayim barats, rather, instead of it being something which expires at a certain point in time and gets rotten, it stays for a very long time. Yesh lei shvias l'dama shvias. They still do have the halacha that they take upon the halachas of kedusha shvias, and therefore they need to be treated properly. However, the Mishnah says, ein lei biar ve'ein l'dama biar. Not only do they not have the halacha that they need to go through the process of biar, but the money that's used to buy them as well does not have to go through the process of biur. Now, it would seem to be obvious, we'll see at the end of the Mishnah, that there was a kal v'chomer that the Chachamim made, but there is a logical way of understanding why the money would be more strict, possibly because you can't really differentiate between money that was used to buy this type of plant or that type of plant, whereas if the fruit was still around, you can identify this as something which is not miskayim ba'aretz, it will expire, whereas this plant is clearly in front of us, and it is miskayim ba'aretz. So the Mishnah goes through the same process. Ezehu. What are plants that fit this category? Halof hashaita. This is the actual plant of lof hashaita. This is ikar lof hashaita. The ikar, the roots of the lof hashaita. The same plant we described earlier. This is the root of it. Vikar dandana, the root of the mint plant. The our kavnin, I don't know exactly what that is. And there's the hachal bitzin, I don't know exactly what that is. The habuchria. So these, it's translated, the list is translated as the leaf of the wild black kala lily and the root of the rusty back fern. And again, the translation doesn't have a great translation of the next one. And the root of the netzach chalav and buchria. I apologize, I don't have a better way of explaining this. Meminat saivim, stuff which are used for dyeing. What is that? That's pur varichpa. Exactly what pur and richpa are is, again, I don't know. It's something which is used for dyeing, as it seems pretty obvious in the Mishnah. I don't know what it is. Yesh lam shvias l'dmeim shvias. They have halacha that they take on the halacha of shvias. And the money that's used to buy them also needs to be treated like kedusha shvias. However, ein lahem bir lo dmeim bir. There's no chiyuv to be mevarer them, to be mafker them. Lo dmeim bir, and at the time of bir, since there is no time of bir because they stay in the ground for a long time, they don't need to be nispar. You don't have to get rid of them. You don't have to be mafker them. Lo dmeim bir, and the money that's used to buy them does not either need to go through the process of bir. But Meir disagrees. He says, Demeyam is barren at Rosh Hashanah. The money that's used to buy them needs beer until Rosh Hashanah. And the Chacham disagreed, and they said, Amr Lai, Ein Lahem Ein Beer, Kavacharim L'dmeyam. How could it be that the money should be more strict than the actual product? If the product itself does not need to go through this beer process, then money used to buy the product should not be any more strict. But as we explained earlier, there is a logical explanation why the money would be treated with a more stringent approach, because it can't be differentiated. I just want to point out, when we talk about the halacha of beer and being mafgaret, I don't mean that the person is allowed to take ownership over the product during the rest of the year. The halachas of Shemitah apply to everything. That means anybody is allowed to come into the field and pick them. What we mean is a person, once he took them into his house for his own personal possession, now he's allowed to do that during Shemitah. A person can go to his field during Shemitah and take anything out of the field that grows there and bring it inside. The Chi of Beer says that even after you've taken possession over it, you have to still take it outside and be mafkir it again. This is not talking about while they're in the field. The Beer, the Chi of Beer, is after you've already taken them into your house, you'd have to take them back out and be mafkir them. And even then, we mentioned that there is an opinion that you can go ahead and repossess them yourself. This is not to be confused with the general halacha that during Shemitah, all field outside, all food, all produce outside in the field needs to be in a state of hefker, where anybody can come in and take them. We'll stop here at the end of Mishnah Beis. Mishnah Gimel talks about some of the more specific halachas of what can and cannot be done with fruit that grow during the year of Shemitah.